Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Again to everyone. If you are visiting with us for the first time, I was asked by our deacon if you could just raise your hand. We'd just like to get a card to you to note your visit with us here tonight. So anyone here for the first time, this is your first Sunday evening service with us here at Central. Don't be shy. If you could raise your hand. It's nice to have you with us, Ma. He's going to give you a card. If you could fill it in and then give it back to our brother Johan there. Well, the series in the evening service is going to be titled God's Eternal Plan for Global Missions. God's Eternal Plan for Global Missions. I want to make an argument in this series that God from eternity past has always had a plan to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The point of the series is to ask you the question, will you join God on that mission? Will you join God on His eternal plan for global missions? God's plan of salvation has always been for the whole earth, and as you are a member of this earth, will you join God in His mission of saving this earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Intentionally so, it's Easter week coming up, and so I'd like you to go into the Easter week thinking about this plan of God to save the nations. As you remember Jesus, I want you to be remembering Jesus who came with salvation's plan to save the world, Jews and the Gentiles, and the invitation is for you to join Him on that mission to save the world. To start, I'd like to get you thinking a little bit. Won't you imagine a world? Imagine a world where everyone feared and loved Jesus. Imagine a world where everybody obeyed Him at His word. Imagine a world where you didn't have to sweat when you worked. Imagine a world where you had the garden that you could enjoy without its thorns. A world where you could walk to Checkers and run into a lion and give it a big hug and play tag with a bear. Imagine a world where you are growing older, but you are not wrinkling. Imagine a world where you do not die. Imagine a world where your body is always as healthy as it can be. You are not worried about that burger that's going to add a few calories and you might have cholesterol and high blood and all that sort of stuff. Imagine a world where you're free from the enemy of sickness and death. Imagine a world where every child was born and raised to both parents, and they were born to loving parents who loved each other in the covenant of marriage. Imagine a world where there were no orphans or abandoned children. Imagine a world where kings and princes and governments were unnecessary, for the Lord Himself is our King. Imagine a world where there's no crime, there's no rape, there's no unemployment, there's no sadness, there's no suffering, there's no sorrow at all. A world where everyone is genuinely joyful. A world where everyone is content with what they have. A world where everyone has peace within. A world where everyone is at peace with God. A world where everyone is at peace with one another. This was the picture that God had intended to fill the earth. What I've shared with you now that I've asked you to imagine was the plan of God when He had commissioned Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The earth was supposed to be like that. The earth was supposed to be a place where we enjoy the yield of every plant-yielding tree, every fruit-yielding tree. We were to have dominion over lions and not run away when we see a lion in the Garden of Kagiso in Bushbuck Ridge. It was to be a picture where the light of God was on the face of the earth through the life of his image bearers. God had intended in Genesis, and it was to be for all humanity, that the glory of God was to be on display through the faithful, loving obedience of humanity. The fruit of that would be Psalm 148. Psalm 148, verse 7 says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fires and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind and fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord." The intention of God was for the people of God to praise him. The intention of God was for his creation to praise him, but we know because of sin, we don't see that. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll pick up our reading from verse 27. And maybe to give you a heads up, tonight's sermon will be from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11. But we won't go through every detail of Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11. But my point in these first 11 chapters is to show us the plan of God for the nations. And this really is an introduction to our sermon series. So Genesis chapter 1, we start off in verse 27. We know these words. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.'" Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, as we come together to worship you through the preaching of your word, we pray that, Lord, your mission in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And Lord, the message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection will be foremost in our minds and hearts tonight. We pray again, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to have our hearts softened to the call of God for us to make disciples. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, as we listen to the sermon, to be thinking of actual names of people who need to hear the message of Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd show us through this series that, Lord, the nations is not necessary. We don't necessarily need plane tickets to reach the nations, but God, the nations are around us. Lord, help us to have eyes for the lost. Help us to have a desire to see the gospel of Jesus Christ fill the earth, filling it with the light of your glory. God, give us a passion for your name. And as we listen to the sermon, Lord, show us where we have been consumed by making a name for ourselves and forgetting your mission on this earth. I pray, Lord, that you'd lead our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So for my first point tonight is the creation mandate. The creation mandate. Again, we see this in verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God blesses Adam and Eve before he commissions them. The blessing of God rests upon man as he was image bearers of God. The blessing of God rested on a natural man and a natural woman because God had given the institution of marriage to them. It was because it was within this institution of marriage where there is a natural man and there is a natural woman where this mandate could be fulfilled. The mandate to be fruitful and multiply could only be completed if there was a man and a woman. So God blesses them. God's blessing was upon them and their marriage before he commissioned them to the task of mission. I'd like you to see here tonight that before we get to Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, God had already had the plan for the nations in Genesis chapter 1. Where every tongue and every tribe are coming and they are lifting their voices in worship of God. That was not a plan B, but that has always been plan A. God's plan A has always been to see his glory spread through all the earth, through the peoples whom he has saved. So God commands Adam and Eve to populate the earth, to fill it and to subdue it. They were to steward the earth by leading and caring for everything that is in it. God had the plan to fill the earth with the glory of his name as his image bearers were in every corner of the earth as his representatives. The kingdom of God would not only start with Israel, the kingdom of God would not only start with the church, but the kingdom of God would be built by Adam and Eve and all their children who would be discipled by them to obey the Lord. The children of Adam and Eve would be the ones who would have enjoyed that awesome privilege to witness the Lord walk in the cool of the day among them. They would be those who have witnessed sweet communion between God and their parents. The children of Adam and Eve would have been those who have witnessed the beauty of communion with God through faith as they witness him firsthand as the true God of creation. Friends, the mission of God in Genesis chapter 1 is to have a visual representation of the glory and dominion of God in the faithfulness of man. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, all that I've asked you in the introduction would have been a reality. We would have enjoyed the earth and all of its yield as we serve and move across the face of the earth, populating it and working it to the glory of God. But we know that's not true. We know sin has come into the picture, and so the kingdom of God was not built solely by the descendants of Adam as they moved in faithfulness, but we saw sin came into the picture. God, in all his wisdom, to the limits of my finite mind, saw it fit to allow for evil to come into creation. He saw it fit to give us a clearer, a deeper revelation of himself by allowing evil into the garden. God, in all of his wisdom, allows for the serpent to speak to Eve. He allows for the serpent to tempt her. He allows for Adam to be passive in this interaction. He allows for Adam to fall, bringing with that fall the sin that has spread to all men because all have sinned through the one man. The sin of Adam and Eve substituted the blessing of God upon man with a curse. Man is cursed and separated from God because of their sin. Because of Adam's sin, death was now a reality. You turn to Genesis chapter 4, and then we're introduced to a man named Cain. Cain kills his brother Abel because he thought that he could decide how to worship God. Cain's offering, was wrong because it lacked faith. It lacked heartfelt devotion. It lacked a proper understanding of what God had required. Cain, being a son of Adam, would have missed what his father had taught him about the covering of God in the garden. He missed the need for atonement. Then we go to Genesis chapter 5, and we have that list of descendants from Adam to Noah. That list that when we do our Bible reads, we usually skip over because it's beget, beget, beget. But I want you to go to that list and notice a key thing in that list. Listen to what it says. It says, thus, all the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Thus, the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he I'm hoping there's people in the room. Then all the days of Gerald were 962 years, and he? Just keeping you awake. Enoch walked with the Lord, and he was not, for God took him. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he? Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he? The point of the descendants of Adam to Noah is God, through Moses, is showing us that death was now a theme in the world. Death was now a reality in the world that was supposed to be filled with life and light. A world that was to be known as very good. That world that was the apple of God's eye was slowly becoming a ball of darkness and hopelessness. We go to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we get the Acropolis of darkness. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we see that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The mandate was being fulfilled. Man was being fruitful and multiplying, but the mission was lost. The opposite was happening. Instead of the glory of God filling the earth in the faithfulness and fruitfulness of his image bearers, evil was filling the earth through his image bearers. It says the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Those who were to be an image of God on the earth were the live images of evil on the earth. Living in a technological age, we are also constantly exposed to evil. I was actually thinking about this a few weeks ago, where this is a generation that is constantly exposed to death. I don't think I have seen as many dead bodies in my life as I have seen through scrolling through my phone. You see people shot brazenly, and the videos of that lifeless body, we get to observe them as we scroll through TikTok and Twitter. As we scroll through TikTok and Twitter, you see car accidents where lifeless bodies are flung through windshields and are falling to their death. We are constantly exposed to the reality of death as we flick through technology. We're exposed to people getting robbed as we flick through technology. We're exposed to murders. We're exposed to people living in open sexual immorality, infidelity, drunkenness, and orgies right before our eyes. But sometimes with a sigh of relief, we almost watch these things and almost thank God that these things are happening there, but it's not happening to us here. We, as it were, have the choice to determine what we allow into our bubbles of influence. But I want you to see that in Genesis chapter 6, things were bad, bad. Evil, as you've never imagined, had filled the earth. Every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually, and this was the reality in every corner of the earth. The world was filled with evil. We know the story. God decides to press the reset button. He wipes out the whole earth with a flood, saving those who, by faith, entered into the ark. In this, he finds Noah a remnant, one who stands in faithfulness in the face of evil. One who is light in a darkened world, it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Friends, what I want you to see already from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 6, even as you get to the flood, is that God's global mission had not failed. God's mission to save the world had not failed, even though he had to wipe out the whole world with a flood. If anything, the flood highlights God's desire that the whole earth worship and live in obedience to him. God was still on a mission to fill the earth with his glory, to fill the earth with the revelation of his power and his authority through the obedience of man who would find faith in him. And so then we see my next point, again, the creation mandate 2.0. The creation mandate 2.0, you find this in Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, it says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them again, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Indeed, into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. Verse 4, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. For every beast I will require it, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Again, a copy of Genesis. It says, God blesses mankind. From God blessing Adam, now we see God blesses Noah. He blesses Noah, he blesses his sons, he commissions them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It was through their faithfulness that the world would be filled with God's renown. The story of the righteous God who judged the earth with the flood would be passed down from generation to generation, starting with them. As men would walk and work and worship, there would be light and life because of Noah and his descendants. But I also want you to notice that in your Bibles, this is the turning point of God's story of redemption. Because we get another genealogy. At the end of chapter 9 and in the beginning of chapter 10, we get another genealogy. But this genealogy has another emphasis. Its emphasis is not death, but notice, it's the nations. Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. From these, the coastland peoples spread in their lands, each with his own language, by their clans in their nations. Nimrod, he was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Iraq, Akkad, and Kalnek, in the land of Shinar, verse 11. From the land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, verse 12. Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that is the great city. Verse 32, these are the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, in their nations, and from these the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. God's mission has always been that his glory spread to all the nations. May I pause here for a moment? Dear South African, dear Zimbabweans, dear Nigerians, dear Americans, dear Indians, dear Chinese, dear Brazilians, dear Israelis, your roots are found in Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Your roots are found in Noah. Your roots are found in heaven, as in Adam. As humanity, we are all created by God as one human race from Adam. Dear Christian, you need to preach this truth. Do not buy into the devil's lie of different races, for we are all from one race. There is no such thing as a superior race, but there are others who have come preaching a superior nation or a superior ethnicity, but a superior race, there is no such thing. For we are all from one race, and that race is Adam's race, the human race. I want to show you that it is God who had allowed for the borders and the nations. And so regardless of how you feel about the borders in Africa, open the borders, close the borders, it doesn't matter to me, because it is God in his providence who has allowed for the borders and all those who are in those borders. And we as Christians need to be thinking about the souls of those who are in those nations. Do not get caught up in the politics of those nations. And I'm not saying politics is right or wrong, but I'm saying, do you have a desire that those nations be saved? That they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a heart for the nations? And before you think about Japan, what about Zimbabwe at your doorstep? Acts chapter 17 says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Friends, there is only one human race created in Adam. But I want you to note in the scriptures that God is making a people for himself. It is God who is going to create another race. This race will be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. This race he's going to call the chosen race, because this race does not come from Adam, but it comes from Jesus Christ. Christ is their new head. In him they have life. In him they have freedom from the bondage of sin. In him there is newness of life. If you want to talk about two races, there's the race of Adam and there's the race of Christ. Which race are you? But we will unpack that as we go further in the sermon series. But I must close, and I want to close with Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. This is my third and last point. Friends, the will of God cannot be thwarted. The will of God cannot be stopped. The will of God will always prevail. Genesis chapter 11, I'll quickly read at those 9 verses. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be despised over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of which the children of men had built. Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building that city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So just by way of illustration, I'm starting to gain a reputation for having phones that don't work. So for the longest time, I had my iPhone at the iStore because they quoted me 7,000 rand for a repair, which is 2/3 of the price that I bought the phone for. So I said, no ways. And so I then concluded I need to find somebody else. And so I went to an iStore reseller, and there they pointed me to a brother who is able to fix motherboards of iPhones, because that's where the problem is. I want you to imagine the feeling I had when finally, for almost a year, I was an Android user. And I had my iPhone at the iStore, and I could finally get it fixed. And I got that message from this guy saying, hey, you can come and collect your phone. It is fixed. I felt alive again. I had a spring in my step. I know I preached about idolatry. It is not my idol, but I really enjoyed having my phone back. But in the last 2 months, it started glitching again. It started having problems. The same problems it had when I sent it in are the same problems that are appearing again. We saw in Genesis chapter 9 that there was a reset. That God had wiped out the earth and he resets things where he allowed for this new creation from Noah to again fill the earth and bring him glory. But again, we see it starting to glitch again. After all they have heard about the story of the flood, after hearing the horrors of God destroying every person on the earth with water, they got a second chance, and yet they desired still to make a name for themselves. God sends them and says, you are to go and to fill the earth. And they say, actually not. We will stay, and we will settle, and we will make a name for ourselves here at Babel. They wanted to be great. They wanted to make their own way to heaven. They wanted a name for themselves. But this story is filled with irony, and that's why I'm closing with this story. They were building a city with its tower, which is to go up to the heavens. But what is ironic is, though they were trying to go up to God, it was still God who came down to them. I love the picture of a pastor who says, God almost like ants who are building this anthill, God sort of stoops down with a magnifying glass to see what is it that these ants are trying to do in their attempts to come to me. It was God who again goes to the people. Mankind and all their efforts can never go back to God in their own strength. It is God who always comes to man. In this series, I want you to see something that God is a missional God. I want you to see something of the Missio Deo. From the garden, when Adam had sinned, I want you to see that God had a mandate for the nations. When Adam sinned again, it was God who came looking for him, to cover him. When Cain sinned, it was God who came to him. When the earth was filled with evil in Genesis chapter 6, it was God who even in his plans to destroy the earth, came to the earth with salvation's plan through Noah. When a people came together to make a name for themselves, again, it is God who comes to them to save them from themselves and their wickedness. We will see next week that again it will be God through Abraham who will provide a plan of salvation for the nations. But I want you to not miss something in this book. In Genesis chapter 11, when the peoples say that let us make a name for ourselves, the word name is the word Shem. So they're saying, let us make a Shem for ourselves. But God in his providence, God in his wonderful wisdom, would through Shem raise Abraham, who would be the father of the nations. God would make a name for himself through Shem. God is on a mission for the nations. Will you join him on that mission? Friends, in a world where death is everywhere, death is that unwanted guest that you hear walking in the corridor and you constantly wonder, when will death knock on my door? In a world where you feel like sin is suffocating you as it surrounds you and as it dwells in you, I want to encourage you that the gospel still has the power to save. I want to encourage you that God's plan has not failed. I want to encourage you that God's plan was always for the Gentiles to be invited into salvation. God's plan was always for the nations. God is still on his mission to save the nations. And again, the question is, will you join him on that mission? Friends, we need more Abels. We need more Noahs. And as we'll see next week, we need more Abrahams who will step up by faith and worship Jesus the way Jesus has called us to worship him. We need men who will stand by faith and preach repentance, even in a world that goes against the gospel and God. We need people who, like Abraham, will leave their comfort zones to a land that God will show them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this Easter season, we need people who leave their comfort zones and take up courage and go and preach Christ and him crucified to all the nations. Whether it is through your social media or it is you sharing the gospel to your Somalian friend, will you share the gospel and join God on his mission to the nations? This is a passage that is going to be a theme for all of our sermons. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Pantata ethne. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all ethnicities, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, great promise, I am with you always to the ends of the age. God is on a mission to save the nations. Will you join him? Or are you too busy making a name for yourself? Let us pray. Oh Lord, there's a lot that is said in the sermon. God, there's so much I still could have said. God, Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 11 is just rich in truth. But God, I pray that we would see something of your heart for the nations. I pray, God, that we would see something of your mission for the nations. I pray, God, that we see something of our purpose on this earth to proclaim Christ to the nations. And so, God, whether it's in a university classroom or whether it's in the corridors, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our communities, God, give us the courage to preach Christ and him crucified. God, remind us and convince us of the power of the gospel to save. God, convince us that the gospel is good news. It's good news that must be shared. And so as you go into Easter season, oh God, give us a burden to preach Christ. God, help us to be intentional, Lord, to make opportunities where Christ can be proclaimed. Lord, whether it's lunches or dinners, whether it's hikes, Lord, whether it's coming to church or coming to a Bible study, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be intentional with putting the message of the gospel in the faces of the people who need to hear it. God, I pray that, God, we would be those who desire to be obedient to Jesus, obedient to his great commission, that we are to go and make disciples of all the nations. I pray from this room that everyone would do it in their spheres of influence. But God, even in this series, I pray, Lord, even with my failure and, Lord, all my mistakes in my speech, but God, I pray that the power of your word in the ministry of your spirit would raise up from among us missionaries. I pray we would hear people who will come up and say, I feel that God wants to set me aside to commit my whole life to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that this series would be the catalyst in the lives of many to again be involved in the mission of God to save the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.